Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, second half, we talk about The Sopranos with Jamie Lynn Sigler and Jenna Paris as well, who have a pod. We talk about parenting, Sopranos, and Gandolfini, and get the inside skinny from Meadow Soprano. Very interesting, eye-opening discussion. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock USB charging stations at the airport. Come with a cost you can't see. USB ports pass data so criminals can modify USB connections to install malware or download your data. You don't want that. So many threats, so many ways. And the cyber criminals, think about them. They never stop evolving. They never stop figuring out ways to try to rip you off. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security, help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It's 2019. We're coming up on 2020. The future is upon us, people. It's time to protect yourself. You're online. Your info's out there. You're doing all the purchasing from home and a computer and everything else. You need LifeLock. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but there won't be. Because it's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you may miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
I leave my dog out on a lead in front of my apartment for 20 minutes before I go to work. Favorite thing. I came home one night and there was an official warning from Animal Control saying I left my dog out all day with no water and he'd be taken away if it happened again. A female neighbor had narked on me. Some chick from Animal Control had left the warning. Sight unseen. The dog isn't out all day. I work. He's inside. So I called her boss, a man. He came over and when I told him the story, he shook his head, handed me his card, and said to call him directly if it happened again. Female, 1089, hydration disorder.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Jamie Lynn Sigler and Jenna Paris both here. Mama Said, the name of the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Are you guys old enough for female canine hydration disorder? Has that kicked in? Because it's like it's sort of like reading glasses. It doesn't kick in until a little more advanced age. You guys are a little younger before you start obsessing about dogs and water.
If they have enough water in the bowl.
I'm going to need more explanation. I didn't even know that this was something.
Like if you go to somebody's house and you see a dog roaming around and there's just a drop or two of water left in the bowl, would that make you uneasy?
No, my dog doesn't get his water all day because my baby plays in it. So he gets it in the morning and then later in the night. So
wow,
I'm probably public enemy number one to those people.
You're a survivor. That's great.
It'll kick in. It seems to. I'll put it to you this way: it's a middle age thing. You guys are in your 30s; it's not quite there yet.
Okay.
You're living for yourself a little bit, not through the life of the dog. I've had two women in my neighborhood pull over while I was walking my dog and get out of their car with bottles of water for the dog. I left my dog in front of a Sprouts supermarket for 5 minutes. When I came back, there was a bowl. Under it.
You're welcome. That's so LA, though.
If you walk down like a Ventura Boulevard or Foothill Boulevard, the businesses that have the bowls out front, the nail salon or whatever, that's a woman who's suffering with female canine hydration disorder.
There's warning signs of onset. Like Gina, like a few years ago, asked me, like, how often do you give your dog water? I was like, every 2 or 3 days.
I was horrified.
Well,
yeah, that's not okay.
Why every new water?
Refresh it. Who wants to drink dirty
also,
water?
Also, like when my wife leaves town, there's no discussion about locking doors or heating and air or alarms. It's always just, Phil, that's my lab. You got to check that ball. You checked it. It doesn't say anything about school or homework or anything.
If that was my only worry, I'd be a happier person.
You're right. It's an easier life. We should all aspire to have female canine hydration disorder.
We look forward to that day.
Fucked is the acronym. Okay. Being a mama, how old are the kids? We'll start with Jamie Lynn. We'll
I have a almost 6-year-old next week and a year and a half year old. Two boys.
Do you guys, and Jenna, sorry. Yeah.
No problem. My little boy is almost 4 and my little girl is a year and a half.
Did your parents, I don't think my parents had one discussion about their kids.
What do you mean?
Never there, why? Like,
I'll tell you a very quick story and I'll drop a name. Vince Vaughn used to be my neighbor.
Okay.
We went out to eat with my wife and his wife, and we just walked to like the local neighborhood restaurant. When we were done eating, we were walking back to our house. You know, it was about five blocks away. And we were talking about, well, you know, I got a girl and she's in soccer. And I have someone come by the house. And I come out. I heard you guys practicing on the weekend. Yeah, I got a coach. He comes by for an hour. And then, oh, you got to get the right school. And, well, we have a tutor and then the right school. And when we got to the house, I said, this conversation we just had about our kids is officially more than my parents and my entire childhood ever had a discussion about what they should do with their kids. Like, yeah. It just wasn't,
no,
it wasn't really discussed. Like,
I think the times are different because I grew up in a time where I was just put in the school that was in the neighborhood. Like, there was just no questions about things. But now I think in the age of like social media and all the options, I think people feel pressure that they should be doing something more, that they should be, you know, having their kids and all these extracurricular things. And I think it's
like a competition. Almost.
Where do you guys see? I'm much more down with the let them fall on their face a little and let them get a bruise and a scab and let them figure it out.
Like, yeah, I'm somewhere in the
where are
of that.
We? Like, I'm worried about providing constant entertainment for the kids.
I'm
like,
not
I feel
we
like
were
I want them to find
this.
Out a way to. If you must entertain yourself, you must have an imagination, you must be able to do things.
Totally. And I have two boys, so they are really active, and I don't want to do all that stuff
Thank
all the time.
You.
So they've not the baby so much, but the almost 6-year old has figured it out. We set up a hockey net in the garage, and he just takes shots. He will go swimming because he can swim by himself, like, or he'll color or do all of his, like, he's figured it out. And also, he'll just get his iPad because he can, you know,
when
play
in doubt.
Some games. He's starting school soon. He's not going to have time for that. So I think it's good to be bored. So my best memories are when my brothers and I made home videos and, you know, set up domino things to our house because we were really, really bored.
Oh, we... Literally last night, I got home and the power was off in the entire neighborhood. Like, it was just down. And I got home a little bit later, about 7:30 or 8, and it was dark. There's nothing going on. And we then sat down with my 13-year-old twins, and we put like a lantern light in the middle of the table, and we just played blackjack. We're playing cards, and then later on, I was like, "You want to take Phil for a walk?" And they're like, "Yeah." My son got a flashlight, and we just took off into this like black neighborhood. And I thought, "Well, we would never do this if we weren't forced to."
That's going to be your kid's most favorite memory. They're going to be like, "Remember when there was a blackout and we had like played?"
Oh, easily, yeah.
I mean, one of, but
no, it's why. When you think about the Sabbath and the Jewish religion and like you're forced to just say have dinner on Friday and not watch TV and you go, oh, what a bummer. You know, be careful because it forces you into something you wouldn't do. And before you know it, and it's so healthy and so natural. And we fight it every step of the way.
I know. That reminds me. I have to do Shabbat dinner this Friday.
Are you hosting this Friday?
Well, my in-laws are in town, and we talk about doing Shabbat all the time. We're like, why don't we do this? We need to implement this. It's such a good tradition. And just like, we don't go for it. We just, you know, literally have the challah and the grape juice, and the kids say the prayers, and I never do it. And it's so true. It's like those things that you'll remember and, you know, kind of keeps you grounded and makes you feel good.
I went to Jewish preschool to Jewish high school, and I wouldn't consider myself a very religious person.
Yeah, me too.
But you identify
traditions.
With a community. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, there's so many things in life that are sort of unintended consequences, sort of good and bad. And the power outage, it just means like you read or you play games,
or talk.
Like board games,
oh,
or you talk,
on.
Or you go for a walk.
Extreme example.
You know? And it's also weird. It's a sort of even micro and macro. Like when you're walking, the neighbor will like pull up in the car and go, "Hey, how long's and when?" And now you're sort of conversing with other people, and we pass the cop who was like parked at the end of the street, and Sonny went up and talked to him about, you know, when it's like. Forces you out of your pattern and into relationships.
Kind of like when there's like an earthquake in LA. Yes. Everyone gets like really
scared but really excited.
When did you feel it?
Yeah.
How long
everyone like becomes best friends with your neighbor? And, you know.
I've met all the people that lived in my apartment building in New York when we had a blackout because it was too hot to stay inside your apartment. So everyone was out in the stoop or out in the front, and I was like, "Oh, I'm in, you know, 4B. Oh, you're in 4A. Nice to meet you. I've been living here 2 years and we've never met."
Yeah, the question and the challenge is how do you be mindful enough to impose that on yourself on a regular basis when you have a 80-inch TV and it's full queue up, full of shows you want to watch. How do you not go into the den and shut the door versus go out and take the walk like there
Interact.
Is a power outage when there is no power outage?
Like you have to write it into your
schedule.
Put
it in your calendar.
You've got to plan for it. And I think kids, as much as they'll protest, like follow suit. And I think that they'll enjoy it more than you even think they will.
It's weird. They do gravitate toward the simple interactions kind of stuff. Like the second the power's out, my son's going, well, let's get some cards and play some blackjack. Yeah. And next thing you know, we're playing bullshit or Uno or whatever it is. But we're there. Everyone's in.
Yeah. You're trying to hit on 18. You're slapping them.
Yeah. They kind of gravitate toward the simple when given the opportunity.
Yeah.
So let's see. Jamie Lynn Sopranos, all those years. What year did you start? How old were you when you started
Sopranos?
I was
16 when we shot the pilot, which was in 97, but it actually started airing in 1999.
Wow. And is there can be no concept that you're on to anything of that nature?
None. I mean, I was just stoked that I was on something that was like about the mafia and had cursing because then my friends would think it was cool because they had like spent all their childhood coming to see me being like Annie at the Y a million times that they were like finally like stoked to watch me. And it was my senior year in high school when it was airing. So it was a fun way to kind of celebrate this dream I had my whole childhood with my friends.
Is it true that at first you thought you were auditioning for a musical?
That's very true.
I may or may not have seen the series 14 times. It's my comfort TV. It's my everything. It's fine.
That's so
cool. It's cool that you're here. I really don't care. But they were so secretive of the audition process, right?
Yeah. They were just looking for a 16-year-old Italian-looking girl for a show called Sopranos. So I assumed I could pass for Italian. I was 16, and I thought it was about singing. And I was in musical theater, obviously.
I never get sucked into like Walking Dead or any of this stuff. And or The Wire or whatever. Like, I understand it's all good. I just don't watch it. And I held off on The Sopranos for like 3 seasons. And then
you were pretty into it by the end.
Got into it.
It went off the air. Well, it finished while we were doing the morning show.
Right.
With Jeff Frank Vincent call in, remember, every week. Phil Leotardo, who's a great guest and a really nice guy. And then, of course, there's a cultural event when the show, you know, went off the air.
Yeah, Frankie Renzulli used to call into Conway.
And that was a big 2000. It was either 07 or 08. It was that sort of late, you know, mid period of the morning show.
Gandolfini, he's one of these guys who it's one of these things when time passes where you go, what's he been dead? 2 years, 3 years? And then you go, oh, it's been 8 years or whatever it is. Like
six.
It's always, it's much long. I would have never had it over 5 years. But you were describing him as being very close to him, but also of him having this incredible presence, which is did come across. Like you can't figure out why somebody has it or star quality. I don't know if you saw his headshot, you'd go, that guy has it, but there's something that guy exuded. What do you know what it was?
I could have been facing the other way and knew my back could have been to him, and I knew when he walked in a room. It's just I think even the more attractive thing about him was that he was so humble and so not insecure, but you know, self-deprecating and never thought he was good enough and didn't understand his success, but also the hardest worker I've ever known. I mean, he didn't just, you know, show up and do Tony Soprano. There was hours of work a week before he got there. And he was just, you know, he was not somebody that was in your face, but, you know, me being one of the only two kids in the show and kind of growing up, and I went through a lot of stuff during those 10 years personally. He wasn't one to kind of like be too forward about it, but always made his presence known. Like, do you need my help right now? I see you're struggling, or I see something's going on. Like, please tell me if I can help you. And he was just a really awesome guy.
I have a thought. It's kind of a Bryan Cranston theorem, but we have so many years of being a civilian and knocking around and rejection and bit parts and everything. And then you find success, but you find success in your 40 or 35 plus, the mold is kind of dried. Like I always say, that cement in the sidewalk of your brain is dry.
You are who you are.
Can't put initials into it. You know, if you ever spend any time with Brian Cranz, he's just dude from the Valley, dude from Chatsworth, because he wasn't a child star and didn't have success in a pop band when he was 21. He just probably saw his 40th birthday without really having a bunch of success. I don't know about Gandolfini, but they had plenty of knocking around for plenty of years.
They were fully formed adults before they...
Right, so it's kind of hard for them to just turn into head cases all of a sudden at this adult age, you know?
Totally.
You, on the other hand...
I'm the real fucker.
You're a piece of work.
Yeah. No, I mean, I had the best people to look up to about that. I mean, Edie was 36 when we started the show, and she, her too. I mean, other than Oz, she was, you know, she was rollerblading between auditions because she couldn't afford transportation. You know, 2 years before, she said. So all of them were a lot older and found their, you know, big success with that show. So I think that we had and everyone was, you know, it was kind of your job and we were close and we were friends, but then you went home. So it really, the example to me was that this is a job and there's a lot more of life like to be had other than this. And I've kind of taken that cue since, or I've tried to at least.
Brian inhaled.
I was going to say, on the topic, I want to give a recommendation. I do this once in a while. People listening, there's a really good movie. One of James Gandolfini's last roles is in a movie called Enough Said. Did you see Enough Said? Such a great little movie with him and Julie Louis-Dreyfus. A little romantic comedy, a little 90-minute movie.
It's probably the closest to who he really was.
It's such a sweet movie, and it's so insightful. It's like a kind of a subtle, like, you know, two older people, middle-aged, you know, finding each other after a divorce or whatever, and it's a 90-minute movie. It's a $3 rental on Amazon. Solid date night movie. You guys should check it out.
I gotta do it.
I saw him in Gods of War in downtown LA, the play. And I remember sitting there thinking, I know everybody else is thinking exactly what I'm thinking. He sounds different. It's just he had a little more Kevin Finnerty in him than Tony Soprano.
Yeah. Well, he must have died at...
Deep pull.
How old was he? Early 50s? I mean, he wasn't old when he died.
No, he wasn't. Maybe 52, maybe.
Wow.
I could be wrong.
The features.
He was 51.
51. Jesus. Now they got Sopranos feature. I don't know if that's something that they've discussed with you. I don't know how it works, if you make cameos.
No, it's a period piece. It's a prequel, takes place, right? It's when Tony Soprano's 19 and his son Michael is playing Tony Soprano.
Am I wrong to say, though, I feel like I've seen movies like this where they have given the role of the bartender to the guy who was the guy from the TV show or whatever and just let him pop up in it? I wonder if there'll be any of that.
David's style, David Chase's style, you know, I mean, I remember hearing a rumor that Bon Jovi like desperately wanted to be on the show when we were shooting The Sopranos, and you know, they were just like, no, because it's going to take the audience out of it. Like, you just can't
it's
be
not Ed
like
Sheeran
that.
In Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. I've always felt that stunt casting,
right?
It kind of flew in the face of what you're trying to do. You're trying to create a world,
exactly.
And now you go, oh, it's that guy from the Dr. Pepper commercial. And you go, what? Why? Why are you bump? It's like the boom mic dipping into the scene.
Oh,
like,
the
it's
worst.
Like, why are you pulling me out of this thing? So I should say. And Jenna, you have a background in what?
Nothing as exciting as Jamie's world.
Oh, take a break. We'll be right back.
Go to sleep. I born and raised in L.A. Where'd
you grow up in L.A.?
Cheviot Hills.
Oh, nice.
You know it?
Sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's my hood.
It's over across
from the Rancho Park.
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of across from Fox.
Yeah, exactly. Across from Rancho Park. Club Drive.
Nice.
That's right.
So this is really riveting content.
Were your parents in the industry?
No one was in the industry. My dad, who passed away when I was 10, was a musician. So I sang my whole life. I still do. We were actually in Nashville recently. We sang with the locals in Nashville.
We did.
We're like,
wow, that's awesome.
Like, we should do more singing together.
We just got back yesterday. Yeah. Actually, we're still like a little tired.
Yeah, we're tired. But anyway, so went to U of A and then I went to music school and I ended up moving to New York for 5.5 years, which was, you know, the best years of my life, and was working in marketing. And then when I moved back, I met my husband at Coachella. So I went to Coachella, met my husband. We started dating and I worked until I had kids and then I was a stay-at-home mom and was bored out of my mind, but loved it. and didn't know what I was going to fucking do. I was like, I need to do something. I've never not worked before. And, you know,
we found
cut
each other.
To meeting Jamie and we just like clicked and...
We started our podcast. Yeah. We were just super honest with each other, like to a scary point about motherhood, you know, because obviously it's wonderful. Obviously, we love our kids more than anything, but sometimes it sucks and it's really hard. And there's a lot of like dark and difficult things that you go through as a mom, like identity, all of it. And she was kind of the first person that I could talk to about it. And we decided to make a podcast and it's
and
working.
Yeah.
Mama said. There's a 60s song called Mama Said.
Debbie Dibbs.
It's like this. That's a good soul song.
Is that your bump in?
Let's
make it your bump in.
It's not.
We try.
It's not.
We have to pay a lot of money. But we clear it. One day. Like it.
I love it.
And they have that chorus that go, Mama says, Mama says.
Yep.
Hey, don't you worry. Brian, sorry, it's a different song, I think.
Oh, come on.
All right, I'll buy you a few seconds. I'll buy you 30 seconds with Geico over here. That's how long it's going to take. Bald Brian to find Mama Says.
Got it.
Other things you can do in just a few minutes. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your auto insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that money. Buy the best of... Mama Says was a one-hit wonder, I think. That was not the perennial... That was not a perennial all-star. Extra money. Take that extra money and put it in your pocket. No?
No.
Okay. Most rewarding thing you can do all day at Geico. That is geico.com. You're saying it was the band we've heard of?
Yes, indeed. The Shirelles had one other big hit, which everyone knows.
Sure.
You want to play it?
No, I want to hear something.
This song comes up on our breakfast playlist with Tessa a lot. It's a lot of Motown.
Oh, really?
A lot of Motown.
Can't go wrong with Motown. Shirelles said something with my man or my baby or they had one other hit.
They did have a song called Baby It's You, a minor hit. But they're big.
That was a hit, baby. Oh, no, that's Baby I'm Yours. Sorry.
This is a big hit.
Tonight.
Mm-hmm. I actually like this song better.
Right. Dirty Dancing.
Thank you. That's why we all know it. Tonight
you're mine. I know it from the oldie station when I was digging ditches in Silver Lake. Sad. All right. The Shirelles.
Will you love me tomorrow?
Yeah. That's good. I like Mama Said. I don't know. Finger pop it.
There's room in my heart for both.
That's right. All right. We'll take a little break. Tonight's the night. Yeah, that was a little bit of a hit, according to Max Pata. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll do the news with Jamie and Jenna right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So ABC News reports that Harvey Weinstein wants his upcoming criminal trial moved because of a circus-like atmosphere that exists in New York, according to a recent court filing. So an attorney for the disgraced film producer said in the filing that Weinstein has been demonized by, quote, unending and ever-expanding deluge of local, national, and international news, press coverage, online media hysteria, and suggested the case be moved anywhere else in the state. No immediate response from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, which charged him with several criminal counts based on accounts of two women. But prosecutors are expected to oppose the venue change, obviously.
Talk to Gergis about this. Sometimes they do this stuff just to kick the can down the road, like just buy time.
Continuance.
It lets you just kind of buy time so it's a change of venues and stuff, and then eventually have to get to trial. See, he had one law firm, got rid of the good law firm, and then went to another, and now it's on a third, I think. I don't know. I feel like law firms are sort of like marriages. By the time you get to your third, it's probably not going to work out.
You finally got to figure it out. You finally got to figure it out.
Yeah.
A couple of test runs.
Yeah.
Maybe it's me, not you. At that point.
Yeah. I was just like.
Second one's a sweet spot.
I was just hearing that Larry King is getting divorced for a seventh time.
Yeah, it's technically eighth, because he married one of them twice.
Oh, okay.
He's married?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Many and children.
He was. When I did a show, Dennis Miller hosted because he was in the hospital. I was like, at a certain point, don't you lose the energy for divorce? Like, I just feel like. You know what I mean?
Into it. I just met his son randomly when I was at Nate and Al's, and he was so sweet.
Of course you met him at Nate and Al's.
Of course yeah. I did. But he came to sit with us, and I was like, who is this kid?
My dad's glued to that booth over there.
Yeah. He has the Larry King matzo bread. It's on the menu.
He was very sweet.
Mark will let us know what happens with that.
Yeah, I'll ask him. Remind me to ask Gergis about what's going on with him. I think he thinks that Weinstein has a good shot of getting off, basically. He'll always surprise you with Mark will. There are these cases that you think they're OJ-esque, this is a done deal. Yeah. Come on, give me a break. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, you fast forward 14 months and the person's going home. Right. Like, there is a lot of that. Because I was saying early, I was like, if I'm Weinstein, I have a bundle of cash, I'm just going to jump on a private jet and go somewhere that doesn't have an extradition hearings with our country or deal with our country. Just go somewhere and live out the next 20 years of your life. And he's like, nah, he's got money. He'll stay here and he'll try to beat this thing. Sad. Right?
Well, like you said about Larry King, just to give a couple of details, he's divorcing his seventh wife, but on his eighth divorce. Larry filed divorce docs
double dipped
Tuesday.
At one point.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that picture. Mm-hmm. This was Sean Southwick King. I think that's the picture.
Yeah.
Pulling the plug on his 22-year marriage to Sean. They do have two sons, 19 and 20, but Larry has other children as well. And this will be, he's 85. It'll be his eighth divorce because he married one of his wives, Aileen Aiken, twice back in the 60s.
I sat next to Larry King not too long ago, maybe a year ago, at a restaurant out to dinner, and Chris and I, my wife and I, were sitting there, and Larry King comes in and plops down next to us, and we're like, "What's Larry King?" And all of a sudden, he's joined by a young man, youngish man, my age, maybe younger, and a bevy of young, beautiful women out for a night on the town. Ooh. And his energy the entire time was miserable. He was just now. Maybe it's just his. Posture.
He's got to be so tired.
Struck me as like, I don't want to be here. Like,
he
I don't think he talked because he was next to us. You know what I mean? Like,
he's been really ill, I think.
Yeah, yes. He has been very ill.
Who has a record for most times eating out? I know it's at the bottom of the barrel. My dad, Jim Carolla. See, now 3.7 times in his entire goddamn life. He's 88 years old. Don't feel like Larry King has set the record of number of meals eaten outside of his home.
He doesn't know what his kitchen looks like.
Yes,
you're
right?
You're absolutely right. I met him, of course, not surprisingly, with Dave Rubin a few times, and he's charming.
Oh, Larry?
Yeah.
I feel like he's a mascot for himself.
Yes. Well
said. He is Larry King on top of Larry King.
Yes.
Like, every once in a while, if you ever spot David Hasselhoff,
I would love to.
I would. You should come with me to a car show because I spotted what I thought was David Hasselhoff from across the concourse. Like, we're in Hall B of the LA Auto Show where the Ferraris and Aston Martins are. And I was like, that guy looks like David Hasselhoff from 200 feet away. And then I'm like, no, that guy's a David Hasselhoff impersonator because he's too much. It's too much.
Yeah.
The shirt's
undone
to here. The hair's up. Not the Gandolfini
Not
the factor.
Could be seen from outer space kind of it. And then I was like, well, Hasselhoff would... He would put a cap on and some glasses and want to get around.
Right.
No. He's in full effect.
Yeah.
He's in full Hasselhoff effect.
Wow.
DiCaprio wants to get around.
Yeah.
Not Hasselhoff. He is Hasselhoff.
What a weird life to live, like living as an impersonator of someone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially me. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking back on a party I went to a million years ago where there was a Howard Stern impersonator. And it's like, here's what Howard Stern has going for him. Super funny and super rich.
Yeah.
Okay. Other than that, you got gangling a big schnoz. So this all if you're doing a Dolph Lundgren impersonation or something,
you
at least you get a blowjob in the kitchen at some point. The Rock, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's funny when you're like Woody Allen, except for you just look like Woody Allen, but you have no money and no ability.
No credits.
Yes.
I did see Hasselhoff at the mall one time at the Beverly Center wearing a shirt that said, "Don't hassle the Hoff."
That's what I'm saying.
To your point.
He is Hasselhoff.
Hiding in plain sight.
Right.
Matrix 4 has officially been greenlit. Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss will reprise their roles as Neo and Trinity, while Lana Wachowski, who created the original trilogy, is attached to co-writing, directing, producing.
Co-creating.
But not all the family? Brian, I figure you'd know.
I just saw that Lana, and not her sister, the other sibling, was attached.
Yeah.
Lana has transitioned.
They both have.
Mm.
I think
it's going to be very interesting when the head guy from the head attorney, I guess you'd call it, whoever business affairs from, I don't know who's making this movie.
Mm. Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers.
The original trilogy is Warner Brothers.
Like sits down and goes, "All right, we got to crunch some numbers here." So we got, what's 77% of $10 million?
It's $7.7 million.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I've never seen a movie.
Now, if you just hung on your ding-a-ling.
I've never seen The Matrix.
If you kept your dick, we'd pay you $10 million, but we're doing 77 cents of the dollar.
She starts protesting for manhood. She's like, "Test my DNA."
I was saying to somebody earlier when they were explaining this to me, the part about this movie that always bumps me is all the gunplay, but now we're avoiding the bullets in slow motion. Oh. It's a part that bumps me. Rather them have laser beams or
In the sequels, which weren't as good, they abandoned. You guys see the Matrix movies?
We've never seen them.
You're missing. I've only seen the first one.
They abandoned gunplay because now they're so advanced in the system, they can stop bullets or dodge them whatever for swords, which of course are a little more combat, hand to hand combat.
Yeah. Not my genre.
Well, they're going to start working on it early next year. No plot details known yet, but I'm sure Brian's very excited.
Mm. I'm cautiously, yes, hopeful.
I wish they were doing like a Speed 2 or something.
Three.
They did a Speed 2.
Oh, really?
It was called Cruise Control.
Oh,
and it's okay that you missed it.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's okay.
Yeah, it's quite all right. Full lineup of celebrities for the 28th season of Dancing with the Stars officially introduced.
Hold on. Brian Movie, the man who knows movies. Bigger chasm.
Mm-hmm.
First Speed versus going on a boat.
Dude, you're not going to find
a cruise ship.
You better have a good second example.
Under Siege.
Was there an Under Siege 2?
On a train!
Why was it called Under Siege?
On a train!
Wait, was there an Under Siege 2? This is absurd!
I'm telling you!
Dark Territory.
Was it on a train?
On a train!
Why was it called Under Siege?
I don't know. Name recognition.
Oh, my. Seagal was in it. That's a real blow for the movie guy. Speed 2 are classically so far apart. Speed's a really good movie. Speed 2 has like 0% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay. Chasm. Jaws 1, Jaws 2. Under Siege 1, Under Siege 2. Probably a little narrower.
Okay.
But Jaws 1 and Jaws 2, probably a bigger chasm than Speed 1 and Speed 2? Our Speed 2 could be
Jaws 3 and 4 fell off so far. Like, the revenge.
1 and 2 has got a big... Well, Max Banner, you can work
Roy Scheider didn't want to be a part of number 2.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry.
Dancing with the Stars. The lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So, vying for the trophy will be... Here's the list. James Vanderbeek, Christy Brinkley, country star Lauren Elena, NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis, former NBA star Lamar Odom, comedian Kel Mitchell, former Fifth Harmony member Ali Brooke, The Office star Kate Flannery, Bachelorette Hannah Brown, Queer Eye star Karamo Brown, Mary Wilson of the Supremes, and former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer.
Oh my God. What?
And that is starting on the 16th of September on ABC.
I'm going to be tuning in.
Thank you.
I thought they'd get the mooch at least.
Yeah, no mooch.
I got Spicer.
He did Celebrity Big Brother, didn't he?
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, they're all on tour.
No, he got chipped out of that. Yeah.
There's a couple of big stars in there.
Yeah.
Vanderbeek? Come on.
Yeah.
Lamar Odom?
He does well.
Lamar Odom, a big star.
I'm shooting for Karamo Brown. I'm rooting for him.
I'm shooting for Lamar.
The NFL, who's the NFL?
Ray Lewis. He used to dance in the end zone. Remember?
Don't bet against the ex-NFLers. They seem to dominate.
Agree.
They got the work ethic and they got the athletic background. He's starting. Siegel tweeted a script. He's starting Under Siege 3.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. All right, what were the... I'll buy you a second, but get us the Rotten Tomatoes score
we're putting them together
of all three of those. There's going to be a big... space. You could fit a lot of books between those ends. But I think you'll be surprised at how big the Jaws one was.
And also, Speed and Under Siege are both very good examples of those kinds of movies. Under Siege is a good movie, so is Speed.
Absolutely. All right. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep the metal apart and stop it from robbing. The power, man. Three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It is the best. It is Castrol Edge. Always exceeds the toughest industry standards with Castrol Edge. All right. What? With Speed? Come on, Max Zapata. No way.
What's that?
He's trying to get him. I'm going to give him a second to work his stuff out here for a second.
You think that's a typo?
I don't
Speed
know.
Should be about 85.
Oh! I'm sorry. I was. He's showing me the critic score and the people score. I thought there was.
One and two.
I just saw the first one. All right. So you ready for Speed?
Yes, please.
Speed one or first Speed 94 with the critics.
94. That's justified. It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
Really
76 good. With the people. Sort of like, what? What'd you guys want out of this?
So it was like a crowd pleaser.
Speed two, 4 with the critics.
I said it could be 0.
But 16 with the people. So
oh, 4 times.
They enjoyed it.
Right.
So I'll rent it.
Under Siege.
Stream it.
Yeah.
Under Siege was 77.
Yeah.
With the critics.
About right.
62 with the people. Again, people, what are we looking for out of life here? Look at this. Under Siege 2, 37 with the critics, 38 really? With the people.
Nobody liked it.
That's not a chasm.
Jaws, 98 with the critics.
It's an
all-time
classic.
And 90 with the people. Jaws 2, 60 with the critics. So is that
Jaws
fresh?
Jaws 2 wasn't that bad.
I think
Jaws 3 is the really bad one.
And
that's like where the shark comes back for revenge.
38 with the people. Spite. It's kind of weird that the people had it so much lower in a shark movie than the critics. But all right. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Paul. Let's do one more.
All right. Well, we talk a lot on the show about do we have overlords or are we imposing these rules on ourselves? And I found a blatant example of something so horrific that we do to each other and ourselves, you're going to hate it.
We're sort of talking about all the crazy rules we have. Mm-hmm. And like if anyone has ever done that thing where they're at a place, sometimes it's work and sometimes it's where you live. Like if you live in an apartment, it's like crowded. And then it says like no parking on Wednesday, street cleaner, 10 a.m. to noon. And then you see that the street sweeper goes by and the tracks are still wet and it's like 11:40 and you go, good, and you pull your car and then the meter maid like comes by and they're like, I'm going to write you a ticket. You better move. And you're like, for the street sweeper. Like it just went by. Like the tracks are wet and they're like, no parking between 10 and 10. And you go, for the street sweeper. I got to go back to work. And they go, okay, well, you're getting a ticket. And it's like, what are we doing? What are we trying to do? Why is it okay that we're even having this conversation? Why are you just moving on? It's the street sweeper. There's a window. It is
passed.
We're in the window, but the street sweeper has passed, and you can see the wet tracks that we're standing on. May we get on with our goddamn lives? No, we may not. No, we may not. If you're one of those persons with that wiring, please kill yourself. You make everyone miserable around you, and I'm sure family members
as well. I always
park
like 3 minutes before I'm supposed to.
How does that work out for you? Do you get tickets?
50-50.
Yeah. Ooh, rebel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you go 3 minutes.
I would definitely stay out of Chula Vista if I was all of you, because one California neighborhood is going way overboard with the HOA rules by informing neighborhood residents that if they have a two-car garage, two cars would need to take up both the spots in the garage before they're allowed to park in their own driveways.
What?
The problem for many residents is that many of them use the garage for storage, and many people in this little enclave have trucks and cars that can't fit in the garage anyway. According to the residents, the HOA is not explain the reason behind this rule or what the repercussions might be, but they've apparently also informed people there will be garage inspections to make sure both of your cars are in the garage before anyone dares park in their own driveway.
Have you guys had horrible fucking neighbors?
My dad lives in a neighborhood in New York where you're past midnight, you're not allowed to park on the street, which is like bizarre to me. Like you own your homes. Like this doesn't make sense. So my dad started playing this prank on his neighbor whose daughter would like come home late from like in high school, like hanging out. And he put like a notice and said that they searched her car and that if they do it again, they're going to sell her confiscated weed. And they robbed it. That's true. Because that's how crazy his neighborhood is.
Oh my God. I live next to a hoarder and I don't know why we even freaking moved where we did. It's a beautiful house, but like our neighbor is a legit hoarder. The Hoarder's show.
What's the evidence? Literally featured on the show?
No, but it's worse than the show.
Worse than the show.
Nominate them. And,
yeah. There's like, you know, mattresses outside. I was so pregnant when we signed, like when we, you know, got the house and escrow went through. I don't know what was wrong with us, but there's broken down cars in the driveway. There's mattresses. There's like 45 bikes. There's trash cans. There's like toys probably from, he's like 80 probably.
Was the house like this when you visit?
Yes.
Toured the
it's
house.
Our fault.
She was pregnant.
Yes.
We couldn't think.
I literally couldn't think.
She was thinking for two.
My husband's like, what the fuck were we doing? But no, we're like, what about like HOA people? People have filed complaints. We haven't yet, but people have. And they just, nothing happens.
You got to go to Chula Vista.
I was going to say, care of it. That's maybe why that guy's not living in Chula Vista.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
The problem is we can't figure out balance as human beings. Like someone will always go, look, you want to get that old man who's clinically insane and bringing down house prices. When you do that, next thing you know, that guy's telling you where you can and can't park your Ford Explorer. And it's like, we don't have to do it that way. We could just take care of the crazy people, have a fucking fire hazard and a tetanus problem on their fucking front lawn, and then tell the other people to fuck right off when they tell us where to park. We could do both ways. Because we're human beings. We could be sane. How about that?
Yeah.
No.
That way.
You think it's a good idea to tell crazy old man Tucker to clean off the bike rack on his lawn, but here's what's going to happen.
Tomorrow.
Doesn't have to.
No.
We don't have to do that.
No.
That's
allowed.
We're wired in some fucked up way. I don't get it. Like that whole thing where it's like, if I let you in the restaurant with a sweat jacket, then I have to let everyone in. No, you don't. No, you wouldn't. Or you could. Either way, you don't have to do everything. You can decide to do what you want.
Yeah.
We could all be fucking rational human beings and decide that this guy has crossed the line in one far direction and this other person has crossed the line in the other direction.
The only people that are literal rational people, I think, are five-year-olds, because my son always asks these questions where my husband and I are like, you're right. Like he asked us the other day if we were going to have another kid and we're like, we don't think so. We think we're good. And he's like, so why are you together?
Oh,
we're like, that's a good question.
To be fair, he may have been listening to your husband on the phone.
Oh, shit.
I don't know if he cooked that up himself or it was just he didn't know the kid was outside.
Good call.
Hoarder. Oh.
Yeah.
Now, do you have fantasies like I do?
Burning down his house?
Flaming arrow. Through the fucking garage window. Have that thing go up like a Piccolo Pete.
But our house will burn down if his house burns down.
I thought that when I had a fantasy about a crazy old neighbor I had. Mm-hmm. Turned out, my house didn't catch on fire.
But it actually happened.
Oh, shit.
He he wished that this house would burn down, and it did.
It did?
He's like Firestarter.
I was like Drew Barrymore in that movie.
If there's one...
stole my breath, and then I was fucked.
If there's one more earthquake, his house will fall down.
Oh.
And, like, we live in a very nice area. This is just very bizarre that, like, there's this one house that's falling apart.
My feeling is always like, all right, 80-year-old crazy man. I had the same thing next to my house.
Yeah.
I was like, you have an adult child that moved to Florida some years back. Does he ever come back and go, hey, pops, you know what I would
we
hate?
Talk about that
I would hate to live next to your ass.
Take stock.
Like, I'm saying I'm an adult. I could intervene here on behalf. Like, I would
of the
be
community.
Apologizing to the neighbors and going, I got a U-Haul.
This sounds like a man that's been abandoned.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've done some research and I've been like, so do you have children? I'm like, where the fuck are they?
Right.
And first of all, he has a wife, but I've never seen her in my life.
She's not. She's in the basement.
Oh, I just got chills.
Yeah. So she's there, but she's not. She's maybe dead in the basement. Yeah. You're right. But that's probably what smells so bad. Just kidding. No, but I'm like, do you have kids? He's like, yes, I have like four boys, and you could still see their tractors. I'm not kidding. They're probably 40, 50 years old. In the backyard.
Wow.
Dusty. It's just a...
This man needs help.
I know.
Does he have requests? Or, I mean, is he just an eyesore or is he an earsore as well?
Eyesore. Just an eyesore. He's actually a really nice guy.
So, I look, there's a kind of a social contract, everybody. It's a sort of a flying a Southwest flight. Don't be have super rank BO. Like, it's not really fair to the other people on the flight. Yeah. You know, going to live in a neighborhood, take care of your lawn. If you'd like the inside of the house to be a mess, so be it. Yeah. This is your lawn. It's kind of community.
I had this thought. This must have happened. You sold many houses. Has this ever happened before where on our street, everyone has decent to nice lawns except for one house, just a dirt mess that doesn't take care of it? And I said to Christy when I was like, my wife, I'm like, if we go to sell this house, I'm going to hire a gardener to go over there, clean it up, put down some whatever $200.
Spray the cookie smell.
Whatever $200 is worth it is going to it's an eyesore for whoever wants to buy our house.
Yes.
I walked over there because I can't fucking take it. And my husband's like, you go talk to him. I'm like, you go talk to him. I have to go talk to him. And I went over there and I was like, you know, look, I was like, I have kids and I'm starting to get a little worried about their health with your backyard. I didn't care at this point.
Wow.
And I was like, so you're going to have to clean it up. And if you don't have money to do that, we are happy. Both neighbors on each side are happy, happy, happy to help you. But if you're a hoarder, that's not the point. It's not the money.
Sure.
He literally won't let go. So I offered to pay for it, and I'm going to wait 3 more weeks. And if not, I'm going to start reporting, because it literally is a health hazard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. You think through the eyes of a sane person that you're going to go over there and rectify this problem, because you see things through the prism of sanity, which is, well, obviously, he doesn't have the money to clean. He would want a nice lawn.
I think he has the money.
Everybody wants a nice lawn. Like, it's why the Twin Towers are gone, because you can't think, like, how would you fly into it? How do you bail out of a plane? But no, you can't fly the plane. And, like, you think sanely, and you don't realize they think in insane fashion, and that's the whole point. And you're just going to reason with them and be generous. And then it's weird when you're like, I'm offering to pay, but they're not taking me up on this thing, because that'd be the best day of your life if a neighbor came by with a check and said, I'll take care of that. I'll prune that tree for you. But that's you who's sane.
Right.
He's insane.
Totally. It's never going to happen. We'll move before it happens.
Oh, God.
I got to tell you, like, I don't know, when I think of insane, I think of like Howie Mandel, but... Howie Mandel, he was talking about being insane, but he's a super sweet guy. He built a house in Malibu that was pretty much just across the street from a house I had in Malibu. And he basically flat out told me, I mean, he built a ground up, like 8,000 square foot, custom, beautiful home, blah, blah, blah. Famously, his son partied there and like shot a rap video and rented it out and everything else. But he eventually moved. Because his neighbor was such a fucking pain in the ass. Like, he literally would come over. Like, if he turned on the stereo and went by the pool, his neighbor would come over the fence and be yelling at him to turn. Oof. He literally just sold this house that he took him 3 years to build. Like, the guy's such a fucking pain in the ass. Like, that's what these people do. Like, they're so fucking bad. And I've had these neighbors, too, that you actually want to move.
So you're saying that's what Jenna should do?
Move to Malibu.
No, be the neighbor.
No.
Be the neighbor.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Why? He'll never move.
He's impervious to your sanity.
Yeah.
It's a superpower.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I live with three of those people. I understand. They're impervious to my sanity.
Like,
does not affect them.
Yeah. Force field.
No, like whatever Superman does with his cape when people shoot at him. Sure. That's what my sanity does. Yep. Just bounces right off. All right. Let me... you want to bring it home, Gina Grad?
Sure. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Yeah, the rice pudding.
Gina, come on.
That was the news.
Chris is on fire the last couple days.
Simply Safe. No one should feel unsafe at home, even if you're living next to a hoarder. That's why they're Simply Safe. And you can protect your home today and get free shipping at simplysafe.com/Adam. Look, we got plenty of rules in this society. Like, hey, man, you can't drive around with no front license plate. Like, you get cited, you know, or your kid needs to be vaccinated. It's for the greater good of all the other preschoolers. Your lawn being a goddamn dangerous mess. I feel like we have rules enough that could just be one of them.
Yeah.
And I think
it is.
I think sane people could probably walk through the neighborhood or the cul-de-sac and find the neighbor that wasn't keeping up with the lawn. And in terms of, like, it's not a matter of taste. It brings down the value of your property. Yeah. Like, there's a contract we all enter when we sign the mortgage, right?
Indeed. Literally a contract.
Right. So
my husband's going to be so happy we're talking about this.
It's so cathartic.
I know.
Yeah. I like that guy. And also, I'm with him where you go, me and your husband would make a horrible gay couple. Because totally. We'd be standing at the front door. Go, you go tell them.
You go ahead.
No, I'll be right behind you.
No, I'll be right behind you.
Go. You're the tip of the spear, bucko.
You're standing closer to the door. It
Hold
makes sense
on.
That you would go.
You know how I'm a top?
I sure do.
Let me tell you some of the
What does that do with anything?
Let me tell you some of the privileges that go along with being a top.
Oh, here we go again.
I get to tell you what to do with the neighbors.
That privilege ends at the bedroom, mister.
Well, then let's go in the bedroom and discuss this.
Okay, well, you're trying to trick me.
And scene. Okay.
That would go with your husband.
Proud Not
beautiful.
Saying
you
your husband's gay yet.
You can be with him, okay.
I like, you know, I'm attracted to him just from the, you know, rough template I've heard of him.
Right.
But again, who would talk to the neighbors?
Right.
You know what I mean? We have to hire a third party. We have to hire like a second or a third or a squire to do our bidding.
True.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's someone that does that.
Yeah.
If there
not,
is, call
start,
in.
Start the business.
Well, we talk enough on the show about the Shabbos goy that I'm sure you'll find somebody that'll help
out. Yeah.
Are you familiar with that term?
Kid.
No. I mean,
is that weird? Adam?
I mean,
it's basic. Well, why am I asking you? It's on Shabbat where you can't, you know, tear the toilet paper or turn on the light. You have someone come over and do it for you.
Oh, my God. My sister's neighbor knocked on their door when there was, they forgot to turn off their light. And so they said, are you Jewish? My sister said, yes. So they said, and she said, my husband's not. And so he had to come over and turn off their light because they forgot to turn it off before bed.
There you go.
Well, they pay the Shabbos goyim or goy. They pay them. So I'd be like, you know, $8 maybe.
You're joking, though. That's not a real thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
What?
Yeah.
Well, it's
look,
a thing.
They needed one.
Well, look.
Yeah, they can't do it.
You can't have electricity. I'll screw this up. From sundown to sundown the
Friday
following day.
Sunday.
But you like your espresso or you want to do a load of laundry. Yeah. But you can't flip the switch on or turn the laundry
right.
on.
It's a
loophole. So you get the blonde kid from next door to come over and run your laundry.
I had no
run your
idea
washing
that was
machine.
A thing.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's really funny that three Jewish women, I think, all in the same room have literally never heard of this until you. Because I'm from Kansas. This was not very prevalent from where I come from.
I am interested. I get the beating the IRS on technicalities, like where you lease your wife the car, but you call the company cars, you can write off the mileage. Like, I understand that 1,000%. It's beating your maker, beating
God.
The Lord, beating God on technicalities. I find that fascinating because if he's omnipotent, he knows all and sees all and whatever. It's not the IRS.
Yeah.
That's why I find it fascinating.
I feel if anyone's more into the spirit of the law than the letter of the law, it's the Holy Spirit.
No, but, that's a word in the name,
yes,
right?
Yeah, I think he's more interested in the principles than he is in the details. What
yeah,
do I know?
I find it fascinating, yeah. But it's also, it's an interesting glimpse into the psyche of human beings, yeah. Which is, look, I can't do this, but I still,
right.
I like waffles on Saturdays,
Saturday
you know,
morning.
And so if that kid just turn on the waffle iron and we'll be fine.
Off to the races. I'm like upset. I didn't know that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Well, your life is about to get so much more convenient.
Well, I
feel like it might be a good gig for my son one day, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's the best
not,
he can do.
He's not Jewish. He's great at turning the TV on.
Indeed.
Nobody
Figure
turns the TV on
remote.
Like my boy.
Yeah.
I feel like he'd switch it to Sports Center, and she'd be like the elderly Jewish woman would be like, I'd like to watch
Bravo.
Antique Roadshow. And be like, sweetheart, let me get the box scores. Let me just figure this out.
It's
like
filling
out brackets.
Instead of a summer internship, it's a Shabbos goy.
Yes.
Yes.
Put on your
All
resume.
All summer.
Is there a definition of that? Like, it just what would that physical definition be?
Is there a place someone can apply? You know what I mean? Like,
at the Chabad house.
Shabbos goy is a non-Jew who performs certain activities which Jewish religious law prohibits a Jew from doing on the Sabbath. There are numerous restrictions, and certain types of work are prohibited, such as contractor work. Originally, it was often given to a poor woman, and the compensation was in the form of challah,
Challah. What's wrong with you?
Oh, okay.
What's wrong with you, Chris?
My God.
What is that? Some kind of why is there Larry King soup? What is that?
Later, money was given.
Mm-hmm.
It's egg bread.
Later, okay. Money was given.
Yeah. Braided challah. Egg bread.
Oh, it's braided egg bread.
That's what it is.
Challah. Never seen a challah?
I've had it.
Some challah.
Probably seen it. Didn't know
that. Oh, it's really good.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely seen
it. It's very rich. It's yellow. It's
delicious. I suggest eating it. It's actually really good.
God, yeah. It's amazing.
All right.
Do your preschoolers make it on Friday?
Yes, oh, every Friday.
Best. Yeah.
Mama said the name of the pod, and it can be found on the Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Hey, this was fun, you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us.
You can go to adamcarolla.com because there's live shows everywhere, stand-up everywhere, and be in Portland at the World of Speed with Mario Andretti doing a live car cast coming up on Friday, next Friday, the 30th. And check out our Ride on Red Pinot Noir. It's available at CorollaDrinks.com as well. And go to our YouTube page and subscribe. And you can watch some stand-up over there as well. And last with Paul Bryan with Jeff Cesario doing stand-up. And me and so many others doing stand-up. Raising money for a very good cause.
That's right.
LaughsWithBaldBryan.com. Tickets still available at the Avalon. Coming up on the 2nd of November. Jamie Lynn Sigler and Jenna Paris and Gina Grad and Adam Kroll and Paul Bryan saying mahalo. Three quarters of people live in Lock and Yatter races.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail if you like. Our phone number is 888-634-1744. Go to AdamCarolla.com and subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Also, subscribe to Carolla Classics, hosted by Chris Laxamana and superfan Giovanni. It's awesome. For tickets and info on all the live podcasts, man, great events, books, movies, and more, go to our website, AdamCarolla.com, and stay tuned for AP News.